And a very good morning to you. John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group back with you for another program of The Law and You. This is your opportunity to get free legal advice. All you need to do is get on that telephone. 5520 8888 is the number. That number again, 5520 8888. For those who live south of the Tweed River, 07 in front, but otherwise you'll get straight through. And we say a very good morning to our first caller, John. G'day, John. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you, John. And you?
Very well indeed, thanks.
John, how do I appoint an executor for my will?
Well, the will itself will appoint the executor, John. So when you make a will, normally the document says, start something like, this is the last will and testament of me, John Smith, of whatever address. I hereby revoke all former wills and made by me. I appoint Joe Bloggs as the executor of my will, something like that. So if you,
if I haven't done that on my will, what do? Just sign a letter?
Did you make the will with a lawyer or did you make it yourself?
Myself.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, it really, if you haven't appointed an executor, does your will have a provision in it which revokes all former wills?
I haven't got that in front of me. I'll check, but if it doesn't...
All right, well, I would honestly be suggesting that you take the document you've got. Whereabouts do you live on the Gold Coast? Which suburb?
Coomera.
Coomera. Okay, well, what I would suggest you do is probably if you... Do you get down to Southport often?
Sometimes.
Okay, what I would suggest you do is probably take the document in to the Citizens Advice Bureau at Southport. Just give them a call first. Have you got a pen handy? So their number is 5532961.
5539.
No, 5532961. Yes. So if you ring them and make a time to go in and see them, I'd suggest take the document in and let one of the lawyers there go over it for you, because it's not the sort of document that I can really go through with you on the phone as to what you should do. I would really, if you've made the will yourself, I'd really like someone with legal training to review that document to make sure it is okay for you before I simply suggest to you that you, for example, do a codicil to the document you have. I think you're far better to get it checked and make sure that it's right.
All right, then. All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Okay, John, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB moves along. It's just coming up to 23 minutes to 10. As we say, a very good morning to Mary. G'day, Mary. How are you? Mary, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hello there.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
How can we help?
I'm inquiring about a super. I wonder if you could help me about that, please.
Sure.
I am a widow. I have a super, and I've got a valid and up-to-date will.
Mm-hmm.
In my super recently, I signed binding beneficiaries forms. And those forms, that form, made my son, biological son,
mm-hmm.
and my two stepdaughters were named in that.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I have been told because that my stepdaughter's father and my husband, the same person,
mm-hmm.
has died,
mm-hmm.
that the super law doesn't recognise stepchildren as my stepchildren at that time with
yes.
the super.
Yes,
so that becomes invalid. That,
yes, I think that is correct, Mary.
Yes.
So what I would suggest you do, what I would suggest you do is ring in on Thursday to Finance Forum at exactly the same time. Josh Mashman will be here. He's a specialist in superannuation. So he can confirm that, but I have in the back of my mind that you are right, that there's unfortunately an anomaly in relation to the superannuation legislation. But there is a way around it if you particularly want those stepchildren to receive a share of the super, unless there are reasons why you want your super to remain outside of your estate. You could make a binding death benefit nomination in favour of your legal personal representative, who is the executor under your will. And then the executor under, and then in your will, you could say, I leave X dollars to whoever, to your stepdaughter or stepdaughters, and that would be perfectly legal. Now, the only reason why you may not want to do that is if there was some likelihood that someone, some other person might contest your will. Because if there was going to be, if your will was going to be contested, then obviously keeping your super out of your estate is better because, it's a better way to deal with it. But if you can't get around the issue, then you may have no option but to put the super through your estate by nominating the LPR or legal personal representative as the recipient of your super under the binding death benefit nomination.
So that becomes only one person, that legal personal representative. It can't be the three. Is that correct?
Well, not unless you appointed all three of them as executors under your will. If you
appoint, which it has been done.
Okay,
yes.
So if all three of those people are the executors under your will and you made a binding death benefit nomination in favour of your legal personal representative, well, that would be all three of them. But they would only be receiving those funds in their capacity as executors of your will, and you would still need a provision in the will that deals with that. So if your intention, for example, is that half of your estate goes to your biological son and the remaining half of your estate goes to your two stepdaughters, and you had a clause in your will which says I leave half my estate to my son or to his issue if he dies before me, and I leave the remaining half to my stepdaughters or their issue if they die before me, then that clause would cover it. Want to deal specifically with the super and you're doing other things with other assets in your estate, then you would certainly need to revisit that clause in your will.
Righto. Thank you very much, John.
Okay, Mary, all the very best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And the time on 4CRB continues to roll along. It'll be coming up to 19 minutes to 10 very shortly. Don't leave your calls to the last 5 or 10 minutes of the program when we sometimes get a bank up. If you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now, 5520 8888, and we say a very good morning to Nancy. G'day, Nancy. How are you today?
Good, John.
How can I help?
This is a little bit messy. A brother-sister situation. Will, she has seen her mother's will, and the brother is the only executor, though mm-hmm. at this point, or when I saw, or she saw the will, was that it was left to both the brother and the sister.
Right.
Now, it's one of those unfortunate things where the daughter, and she just doesn't know how to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter is left doing all the work for the mother, the hospitals, the shopping, mm-hmm. all the paperwork, everything.
Mm-hmm.
The brother just tiptoes in occasionally for 5 minutes because he lives down south,
mm-hmm.
and he does very little, but mm-hmm. he is, as far as she's concerned, the golden child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the past, the brother, when their father was alive, because the mother and the father had divorced many, many, many moons ago, he was at the father, because the daughter was living, up north continually to harass him to buy him a brand new car, which the father did.
Right.
And that this is the stuff the friend has explained to me over the years, and mm-hmm. she's a little bit not sure which way to jump. And when it came to his will, because he had a house in Brisbane, the brother was at him all the time to say, leave the whole will, the house and the money, to him, and that he will rent the house out. I don't know what was going to happen to the money. She never told me that. But he wanted the house to be left to him only, and that he would pay the sister, he would rent it out, and he would pay the sister half in rent. But there was no clause there, she said, to say that if he sells the house 3 months later, that she would get a brass razoo out of it. Now, the father was sensible enough that he didn't do that. When she told me, when the estate was all going through and everything, that he tried to even make the house less so he'd only have to pay her half, you know, that sort of.
Mm-hmm.
The sad part is that he, the brother of her, he is a lawyer.
Right.
But he lives down south.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this will that the mother has
mm-hmm.
is was done probably in the early 80s.
Right.
From what she's told me.
Mm-hmm.
He's the executor,
mm-hmm.
and at that point of time, it was 50-50 mm. to him and to the sister.
Mm. So,
and,
look, just to cut to the chase, Nancy, is the
yes,
point of this story that the daughter thinks she should get a bigger share? Is that where you're leading?
No, no, she's quite happy to get her half share.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she's done all the work and the brother's mm-hmm. never found unless...
yep.
But she would like her half share.
Yep.
She's fearful at the moment because there's a lot of telephone calls from him, she told me, that he is trying to do exactly the same that he did to his father.
Mm-hmm.
And his mother, because he's the golden child, as mm-hmm. she says, will be easily swayed now that mm-hmm. her new husband has passed away mm-hmm. some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the will was done in a funny little country town
mm-hmm.
that had nothing to do with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of hours away from Brisbane because
mm.
they're Brizzy people.
Mm.
And, well, no, he isn't now. He lives down south.
Mm.
It was done in some funny country little town
yep.
by a lawyer that she's tried to check up on, and he no longer exists.
Mm-hmm. Well, he may have gone out of practice. But
he could have gone out of practice. He could have passed away.
Why doesn't she just talk to her mother and just ask her mother what the will says?
I said, well, talk to your mother and see. The mother doesn't want to approach it at all. As far as she's concerned, she's never going to die.
Mm. Well, the long and the short of it is that I assume then that the daughter's financial position is not as strong
not
as the,
fantastic
no,
as, his.
As the son's position. So if the will transpires to leave the whole of the estate to the son to the exclusion of the daughter,
yeah.
then on the facts that you've outlined to me, I would think that she would have a very strong claim to apply to the court for provision out of the estate. And I think that if her financial position is worse than the son's and she can show
yes,
than her brother
yes.
and she can show that she's the one who's done all the work for mum, then at the very least I think she would end up with a half share of the estate.
Without writing everything down, which you don't want to do about your mother, but how does she show the court then that she has done all the work?
Well, the facts would speak for themselves, Nancy. I mean, the fact that she lives near a mother, that she's obviously the one who's going around. The son lives interstate, can be shown that he visits infrequently. So I don't think there would be a lot in that. But the major thing would be the financial position of the two parties, so that if the daughter is financially...
Wealthy,
yeah, well, if the daughter is worse off financially, then there would be no doubt, in my opinion, that... And this is based solely on the facts you're giving me, so your friend really needs to get some independent advice. But based on the facts you're telling me, I don't think there would be any doubt at a minimum that she would end up with a half share of the estate. So I would suspect that the brother, who is a lawyer, would know that would be the case. So it would be very foolish of him to try and, get the whole estate left to him. Yeah.
And he tried to make the house worth nothing
yeah.
when
yeah.
the father died,
yes.
that she would only get a pittance.
Yes. Well, look, Nancy, that's the reality of the situation, but we'll have to leave it there. I'm sorry. We've got other callers waiting.
Okay.
She would certainly be able to get provision on the facts you've outlined.
Okay. All right. I shall pass that on to her. I wanted to say I live down here on the Gold Coast.
Right.
I did use your firm to get some important information about 12 months ago, and your lady there, I think her name, is it Margaret? Can't remember her
yes.
exact name.
Margaret Miller.
And, yes, and she gave me some wonderful information.
Excellent.
I followed it, and I highly recommended her for the help she gave me.
Well, that's fantastic. I'll pass that comment
yes.
on to her when I get
yes.
back to the office, Nancy.
Okay.
All right,
thank
then.
You.
All the very best.
Okay.
Bye now. And the time on 4CRB is just past 11 and a half minutes to 10. The Law on You is the program. 5520 8888 is the number. You're getting legal advice on the first day of May. And we say a very good morning to Michael. G'day, Michael. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
That's good. How can we help you today?
Right. My wife and I were divorced 18 odd years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But for the last 15 years, we have been back together again.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, we had wills made.
Mm-hmm.
And in the near future, we are actually getting remarried.
Good on you.
Do we have to get wills remade? Because I know when you get a second marriage sort of thing, your will becomes void.
That's right. So,
but
yes.
Even though we haven't changed, she hasn't changed name or anything like that.
Yes, no, you will, because the marriage will revoke the will, unless the will was made in contemplation of the marriage, which it probably wasn't. So unfortunately you will have to redo your will, but the good news is that the lawyer that you did your will through probably still has that will on word processor, and he can just print it out and get it re-signed for you. And look, I would expect that the cost involved in doing that would be very minimal, Michael. So, but I would certainly recommend that you get the will redone so that you don't have any issues there at all.
Right. Hmm. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay, Michael, all the very best.
Well,
this is The Law on You. You're with 4CRB. 5520 8888 is the number. That number again, 5520 8888. If you're needing some free legal advice, get on that telephone right now, and we'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
It's no secret that the journey into aged care is a minefield. Getting help along the way can save you time, stress, and family drama. Kirsty from All Steps Aged Care is here to help you every step of the way. I help with planning your move, knowing how to pay for your care, understanding your options, and finding the right place to suit you. Call Kirsty, a sponsor of the station, on 0423 871 688.
The greatest sporting event the Gold Coast has ever seen, the 2018 Commonwealth Games, needs to be remembered for eternity. Cheapest Chips Framing will box frame your 2018 Commonwealth Games mementos, including volunteer badges, souvenirs, lanyards, tickets, and those special photos. And here's a tip from Cheapest Chips Framing. Add a plaque with special details of the event to immortalise this historic moment that you helped create. Race into our sponsor, Cheapest Chips Framing, with your gold medal memorabilia.
And this is The Law on You on 4CRB. 5520 8888 is the number if you have a question or a query. The time is just past 8:30 to 10. The news will be at the top of the hour, so if you have a question or a query, please get on that telephone straight away. 5520 8888. For the last few weeks, I've actually been trying to talk about informal wills, but we've just been boxed in by calls, which is fantastic. But there's a little bit of a break here at the moment, which gives me the opportunity to talk about this. And just to remind people that informal wills are now accepted in Queensland as a result of amendments that were made to the Succession Act in 2006 and can be admitted to probate. So things like an unsent text on a mobile phone recently was held to be a will. But before people get all excited about this and think, oh, we don't need to go to a lawyer, we can just make some sort of an informal document, just bear in mind that the cost of proving those informal wills as being the last will and testament of a person pales to insignificance. Or the costs of getting a will done pale to insignificance next to the additional costs that will be involved in proving an informal will. So just like the first caller, John, who's done his own will, a homemade will, and said he hadn't appointed an executor under it, at the very least that would mean that if there were no executor, you would have to apply for letters of administration, which automatically puts the cost of dealing with your estate up. If a revocation clause was overlooked, there's a huge amount of research that has to go into it. If you've made a will on a phone, There's huge issues with that as well, as a recent case in Queensland showed. So whilst people may get excited about it and think, oh, we can cut the lawyers out, just bear in mind that you may be leaving more of a headache for your family in choosing that option rather than getting your will done properly. But enough of that. We'll say a very good morning to Gwyneth. G'day, Gwyneth. How are you?
Hello, John.
Yes, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks, John. Two questions.
Sure.
The house I have now was bought by my husband and I, and we put our two sons' names on the deed.
Mm-hmm.
My husband died and left his share to me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that I own half the house and the boys own a quarter, or are we sharing one third?
Well, it's a question of when you purchased the house, whether you purchased as joint tenants or tenants in common. Did your boys purchase half the house, or was the intention that they have half the house?
No, they didn't put any money in.
No. But was the intention that they should have half the house?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Well, if the title, for example, said Mr. and Mrs. Jones as joint tenants and Bill and Bob Jones as joint tenants, as tenants in common and equal shares, that would mean that you and your husband owned your half as joint tenants, which means that on his death, his share of the house automatically went to you, and the half share that your sons have has remained with them. Alternatively, if the house was in all four names as joint tenants and your husband passed away, then his share would have been equally split between you and your two boys, so that you would now own one third of the house each.
So you need
to check with your lawyer who dealt with your husband's estate to see what happened and get a copy of the title deed or the certificate of registration, the registration confirmation statement, to see how it's held. Normally in that situation, it would have been you and your husband as joint tenants for half the house, and your boys either as joint tenants for the other half or tenants in common for the other half. But then as to each other, you would have been tenants in common and equal shares as to the two half shares. But you need to check on it, Gwyneth, to make sure.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Now, second question.
Hmm.
Both the boys are in business. Now, should one of them go bankrupt, can the authorities claim the house?
They can claim a share of it.
Which means that we'd have to buy our son out.
Yes.
I'd have to buy my son out, or one of the sons and I would have to buy the other one out.
Yes, that's right.
So that he can have the money to repay.
Yes.
And then if we couldn't afford that,
the house could be sold.
Oh, goodness me.
Yeah, the creditor could lodge what's called a warrant of execution over the title to the property, and then apply to the Supreme Court for the appointment of an agent to sell the property. So I always talk at great length to clients who are contemplating doing what you've done, Gwyneth, for that exact reason, that, you know, if there's a prospect of your children running into difficulty in business, I mean, they could, if they had a matrimonial split up, the wife could claim that that's an asset and try and get at the house that way. There's a whole range of things that can go horribly wrong. In many cases don't, so it's not a problem. But when they do go wrong, Gwyneth, they go wrong big time. So, so I think the starting point for you would be to look at the title situation and maybe get a bit of advice on it. All right,
fine. All right. Thank you very much. I do enjoy your program.
Thank you very much, Gwyneth. Bye now. And we say a very good morning to Rhea, and we have Anne online. Anne, if you could wait there, because I suspect we'll have to deal with that call after we get off air. Good morning, Rhea. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, thanks. How can we help?
Just a quick question. I have someone who owes me quite a lot of money, and I'm just wondering how I can put a caveat on their will.
On their will?
Yeah, because they're not able to pay it.
Right, okay. So how long ago did the money become, or did you lend the money?
Um, um, about 5 or 6 years ago.
Right, okay. Well, I hope it's 5 years, because if it's 6 years, if it's more than 6 years, unless they've acknowledged the debt in that period of time, the debt may be statute barred. So the very first thing you need to do is get an acknowledgement of the debt. If they refuse to communicate with you and acknowledge the debt, then you may have no option but to immediately issue proceedings against them and secure a judgment. So quite honestly, Rhea, you need to get some legal advice ASAP. Where on the coast do you live? Which suburb? Which area?
Robina.
Okay, well look, Thursday evening I would suggest that you go into the Robina Community Legal Centre. They operate from 6:30 to 8:30 on a Thursday evening in the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. Have you got a,
yes.
So if you just go in there, they're just near the Robina Shopping Centre, go in there on Thursday, take all the paperwork in and get some advice ASAP.
All right, no problem.
Okay then.
Thank you very much.
All the very best. Anne, if you can stay online, I'll take that call as soon as we get off air. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to be with you this morning. Thank you for all those calls. Very interesting program, many and varied, and that's what always makes for a great program. Hope you're having a wonderful start to a new month. Can't believe it's May already. Gosh, Christmas will be here before we know it. But let's not wish ahead too far. Until next week, goodbye and God bless.